post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Welcome to the Capital Football Local Show. We've got an absolutely massive show, and we're delighted to have our special guest in the studio, Ned Zulich, former Socceroo and former Canberran, we must say. Welcome again, Ned.
And still good to be here.
Still good to be here. It's a different show, but it's the same, if you know what I mean. And Russ Gibbs has joined us in the show. Hi, Russ.
Hey,
how are you?
Hey, man. I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad. Now, we've got a whole heap of news coming up. We've also got an interview with CN Michalski from Canberra United, and we're going to talk to Ned Zulich basically for the whole half hour. So I hope you're ready for that, Ned.
Nope.
No. Okay. Well, we're going to do it anyway. Okay, Russ, fire away with the news.
Well, we'll start with the news that Canberra United has announced five new signings ahead of the season opening W League match with Newcastle Jets on the weekend. Robbie Hooker's squad is now up to 18 players with the inclusion of the new signings. Bellwest Foxes grand final goal-scoring heroine Sian Michalski, young goalkeeper Maya Blash, Queenslander Cara Mowbray, ACTAS midfielder Lucy Allen and Westfield young Matilda Nicole Sykes are the latest acquisitions to what's building into a formidable-looking lineup that should do the ACT proud this season. And Capital Football is organising a bus to this weekend's clash at Newcastle, so contact media at capitalfootball.com.au if you want to be on it as we build up to the first home match in Canberra on November the 9th and McKellar as United take on Adelaide.
Okay, in Canberra A-League news, there's a night with Ned Zulich for November the 6th for all Foundation members and corporate members. Fans of the Canberra A-League, come along, find out, have a chat with Ned. We'll hear from Ned. Danny Mullis will also speak on the opportunities for business football across Asia. And Ivan Slavic will update us on the A-League bid. Ivan's in negotiations with some investors from outside of Canberra. We've already got investors from within Canberra, so there's plenty of money, it seems, coming our way, hopefully. And then my prediction is, once the investors is secure, then it's pretty hard push on then to get the bid over the line. We're still up against Wollongong and possibly West Sydney, and maybe even Tasmania, though, I doubt it. And there is a bus being organised to Sydney FC Perth game to support the Canberra League bid. Anthony Hatton's formed Capital Punishment to take a group of fans for a team that doesn't exist to wave their shirts in front of the TV cameras to say, hey, we want a team in Canberra. So join the bus, it's $85. Go to www.ateamforcanberra.com. Make it a day to remember. You get a ticket, you get a shirt, and you get a bus, and the bus will bring you home.
Sounds brilliant, doesn't it?
Oh, tremendous. And in a show of Canberra sporting unity, the Raiders Army, the Canberra Raiders fan group, they're also in talks with Capital Punishment. They said the 75% of Raiders Army fans and Raiders fans are apparently soccer football fans. So, and in Canberra, I think, you know, the support from the Brumbies, the Raiders, the soccer community, I think all of us together, it's that sort of town, isn't it? You kind of support all of the teams. So, Ned Zulich, I know that you're a big Raiders big rugby union fan.
Massive Raiders fan. Yeah.
So you were delighted to see the Raiders get through to the finals this year?
Well, they had a great run towards the end of the season. I was just really disappointing that they bombed out the way they did, you know, with, the Warriors, wasn't it? Caused the big surprise against the Storm that basically led to Canberra being...
So you follow that, Ned, from when you're sitting at home in Germany?
Every single weekend I'm following what the Raiders are doing.
For the last 20 years, that's what you've been doing in Georgia and Japan.
Exactly, yeah. Since Mal Meninga, Laurie Daly days.
Days, weren't they? Yeah. Okay.
Staying on the Ned Zulich theme, one of Ned's first clubs in Canberra, Canberra Deakin now in their guise of Canberra FC, have won the Battle of the States this past weekend when the ACT Premiers down their Illawarra counterparts, the Albion Park White Eagles, 5-2 at Hawker Enclosed. Adam Spalletta 2, Stevie Lee, Aidan Brunskill and Elias Saloom were on target for Canberra FC, who came from a goal down early on to claim the inaugural Intercity Challenge Cup. In the earlier match, the ACT Rockets youth defeated Illawarra in an under-20s game 3-2, coming from behind twice to claim the honours. Afterwards, coach Milo Milanovic called on Capital Football to organise more youth games and obviously would support that.
Oh, the near post always supports more youth games, and I think it's vital that we have them, isn't it? As we see our player development... as we need our player development to continue to grow. Junior futsal, big thanks to the volunteers who have made this happen. It's a phenomenal effort. It's all started and they're doing a great job, and there's hundreds of thousands of children running around. And the Woden Community Festival is on this Saturday at Edison Park in Phillip, 10 till 4. Players FC and my good friend Anthony Hatton, he'll be there with the kids. Young kids can come along and have a kick during the festival. Get out there. It's a good chance to get involved in a bit of local football.
Some further Capital Football Awards, Eamon, that came out of the presentation night the other week. Rhonda Parkin was given an award for 20 years of dedication to the sport. Neil Summel as the newest life member for his 35 years of voluntary service to the development of football in Canberra. The Award of Distinction was also awarded to Canberra Cup Ambassador Keith Lee for his developing relations with Korea, which is fantastic news. And Werden Valley President Alan Hind for driving their new clubhouse at Mawson. Further recognition for all those people, and very well deserved it was too.
Okay, is that your lot?
Got one more. Football wins the ACT election, apparently.
Oh, tell us about that.
Well, we've got 8 Canberra A-League Foundation members in the Assembly now, so let's hope we can pull a few strings and get some further infrastructure for our junior clubs, administration, academies. Might as well use all their potential that are in there if they're listening.
That's right.
And they're interested in football.
Great to get that power base, isn't it, where 8 people have already signed up for the ACT Assembly. So hopefully, with so many people playing football, there's more developments for football to come in this town as the years go by. Now we're talking to Ned Zelic, former Socceroo, former Canberra Deacon, former Canberra lad. Ned, you're back in town.
You were thinking about going through all the clubs again, weren't you?
Not even I, Ned. Not even I. So, what brings you back to town?
I haven't been back in 2.5 years, so I thought it was time to come back. And obviously, you know, I finished my career 5 months ago, so it gives me a bit of time to come home and see family and friends and also, you know, to look at basically what sort of talent is going around in Australia these days. I'd like to get out and see as many games as possible.
So is that where your career is heading? Like, you finished playing, obviously, in Georgia, as you say, 5 months ago. Is that where you're looking at the scouting players? Is that?
Yeah, I've been doing a bit of that. I find it, you know, very exciting. And obviously, with the contacts that I have as well, I think it would be silly not to kind of go down that path, and basically like to give as many, you know, juniors or whatever opportunities to maybe offer them a pathway, especially places like Canberra as well, where, you know, you're a bit out of the picture as a player. And I know myself how difficult it was back then playing all my junior years in Canberra. I would have preferred to have actually stayed here, played for a top tier team here, and then gone overseas, which was always a dream of mine. But now it's, you know, boys have to move into state, and then if they do well there, then they'll, you know, take that next step to go overseas. But I can just say from my own personal experiences, it wasn't a lot of fun those first years leaving Canberra and going to have to live in another state.
Yeah, we've had Joe Simonich here, and we spoke to Carl Valeri and that, and they all talk about having to go overseas being you know, really hard thing to do at a young age. Ned, I suppose first of all, just talk Canberra A League. There was no pathway, I guess, or, you know, with the new National League, there is no Canberra A-League team, but we've got a bid going now. What are your thoughts, and how important is it for us to get a team?
Oh, it's massively important. I mean, not just for Canberra, but the whole region here, you know. I think that, you know, if you look at all the different leagues in Europe and Asia, it's difficult to find a league without a team from the capital. And I just feel that, you know, if there is a good bid there, a bid of quality, and that's what it seems to be, then it's beneficial for the league to have a team from the capital. I think it's also good for the existing teams that are there. I mean, it's not long travel time to get to Canberra and all the rest, and I really feel that Canberra deserves his chance.
We've certainly produced many players over the years, but if we have a team, I mean, obviously, do you think we can produce more players? At the moment, we probably get 2 or 3 players through the AIS, and they kind of, if you get to the AIS, then you've got a chance of going on to the next level. But if you don't get to the AIS, we've really got nothing for those. You know, the chance of those guys making it professionally is nil. If we got an A-League team with the youth side, that presumably would change. Is that how you would see it?
Well, of course it would, yeah. It would enable them, obviously, to play on the national stage, to parade their talents. And, you know, at the moment, we have nothing, really. We don't have even a team in the New South Wales State League. So we're kind of cut off with everything there for these juniors to have a pathway, you know. I mean, obviously, there's opportunities with the state championships and all the rest to show what they can do, and there will be then interest from Victorian State League, New South Wales State League. We'll have boys playing there, Institute of Sport. But it's just not enough at the moment.
No, it's interesting. Canberra FC have applied for the New South Wales Premier place. There's a one up for grabs, but because they're not from New South Wales, it's going to be the decision's going to be made tomorrow, and it seems most unlikely that they'll get in. But it's interesting, you know, Ned, it's really, we've got the same problems when you were still 20 years later, or when you went overseas or whatever it was, you know, 16, 15 years ago. We've still got the same problems in that there's no real pathway for a Canberran like yourself to stay here, play in, you know, the National League and then go overseas. It's amazing, really, that football's come, you know, we've always had a strong player base, and yet we haven't really made that development or been able to sustain it with the Cosmos. And then, of course, they went down, and, you know, as a community, we haven't done it. Hopefully this time it's different. It's a different time for football, I believe. And I think we will get an A-League team, whether we get it immediately with this current bid or further down the track. I think this is the start of getting a team in there.
Yeah, well, it's vitally important. Like I said, I mean, for these juniors, I remember like 2 years ago when I was here in Canberra, just before I started doing work on the World Cup for SBS, I went to see a few junior games here, and, you know, there was talent there that I was really impressed with. It's just, you know, once kids get to that age where they're finishing in the junior years, and there's obviously not going to be 18, 20 spots at the Institute for Canberra boys, you know, there's limited spots. So where do they go from there, you know? So that's something that needs to be rectified. And, you know, they should really judge it on the bid as well itself. I mean, we have the ACT government now giving us $2.5 million. There are investors there, so there definitely is money there for us to get into this league. And and it's always, I really firmly believe, it's always going to be an attractive address to come down to Canberra and play.
Yeah, we've got a great stadium, and I think you're right. As it is interesting that they haven't kind of given us exclusive negotiating rights already when they've given it to Melbourne. You know, my feeling is they're probably holding out for Western Sydney, and which would mean we'd be the 13th, 14th place. But hopefully Ivan Slavic can drive that through. And Ned, with your influence across football, you know, you can spread the word for us when you're up there with the media and whatever. That'd be fantastic.
Definitely.
What about for young guys, Ned? You're, you know, you talked briefly there about being in the development game, I suppose, bringing young guys through. Are you now going to get a lot of phone calls from people in Canberra saying, hey, Ned, I've got the best kid in the world?
I don't mind getting those sorts of phone calls. It's just a case of, you know, obviously I've built up a lot of contacts throughout the game, and I myself receive a lot of tips about there's boys here that have got the potential to go a long way. But
so how does it work?
Obviously, I have to have a look and then be convinced myself. I think that's the most important thing, to be convinced that that's a player that has potential and can go a long way. And I think there's nothing better, really, for you know, a player to make a career out of the game. You know, it's...
We were talking with Fitzham and Michela beforehand, and they've got an interest in one of their youngsters. He's a very slight winger, and they're worried that he may not make it into the academy at the moment because they're looking at under 16 level. They're looking for more physically built, powerful boys.
Yeah, so he's in the under 13
in the academy. And they're looking to go on. What's your opinion on that sort of thing? Do you think they should be looking more at the skill levels of the young players or the physical prowess of them at that age?
I think a mix of both, you know. I mean, obviously, technical ability is of massive importance. I mean, but again, it depends on what position you play as well, yeah? But the thing is, like, I've learned from my own experience as well, is never to rule any kids out and say, you know, he's good at this, but he's not good at that, he's not going to make it, whatever. From my own personal experience, I remember when I left Canberra, I went to play for, back then it was Sydney Croatia, Sydney United now, and I had a really disappointing season. Now, I never got a chance to play. I was basically stuck in the youth team.
How old are you, Ned?
I was 17. I actually ended up coming back, you know, leaving a National Soccer League team to come back and play for Canberra in the State League. So pretty much everyone thought, well, that's the end of Zelic, you know, his career's over, he's taken that step back, you know. And but it showed that, you know, that step back was really too far, because everything happened for me then, you know. I got into the Olympic team, was made captain of the Olympic team, and I was pretty much one of the only ones that wasn't playing in the National League. So for me, you know, like I said, ruling kids out, especially at a young age, I would never do. You always have to give kids time to develop.
And Australians are notoriously late developers in terms of the football, it seems. A lot of our players have come through quite late. I mean, if you say 17, you weren't really playing. And then, of course, he went on to a stellar career. Yeah. I mean, that's you know, in England, sometimes a guy will break through at 17, you know?
Yes, exactly. So, well, I mean, I left Australia when I was 21, you know? And
which is quite late by today's standard, isn't
it? Today's standard, it's late, yeah.
Are there any players you've played with that haven't made that step up because people that you're surprised, you're thinking that you've played with when you were younger that you thought might have made it a bit further but didn't because people didn't give them the opportunities that you got given that you can think of?
I mean... Now, off by hand, I mean, there's a lot of kids that fall into that category, yeah? But in saying that, there's so much more to just having quality, you know? I mean, there's the mental aspect of the game. There's so many different things. How do kids cope, or young boys, you know, when they get to 18, 19 and they go overseas, they're alone, you know, there's different things that have to fall into place. But most of the time, I think character is also of importance. You know, there's some kids that have got that willpower to go on to the next level, and some kids who've got fantastic ability, but just lack a bit of that bite to get to the next step. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to name names here, but there's definitely a lot of players that fall into that category.
Okay, we're talking to Ned Zelic, former soccer, and we did have a schedule, but we've gone by the way. Sorry, because we've just rambled on chatting to Ned. I'm just going to have to cut in, and we'll go to Cameron United about to start their season, and Sian Michalski is. She's a Canberra United player, an ACT Premier player, the only player from the ACT Premier League to make the Canberra United squad. So she's a top effort to make it through to the squad. And I caught up with her this week. This is what she had to say. And then we'll catch up some more with Ned and we'll talk Ned and the Socceroos.
I'm joined now by Sian Michalski. Sian, you've just been announced as one of the signings for the new Canberra United women's team. The game starting the weekend. What are you feeling about being selected?
Oh, it's a great achievement for me. I've been out with injury for about 2 years now, so coming back into it, it was quite hard for me to slot back in. But being training and things like that, it's just it's been a good achievement for me. I've struggled a little bit coming back into it, but I'm very happy with being selected. Of course, yeah.
Now we're pretty excited here on the Near Post because you're the only women's ACT Premier League player to be selected. I think, is that correct?
Yeah. I was expecting a few more girls to trial out from the Premier League because there's a bit of talent there. But I ended up only being the one selected, which is again another. It's been awesome to be selected. Being the only one to be selected, so yeah, it's good.
See, and why do you think that is that some of the others didn't try out?
I don't know. I really wouldn't know because there was a few girls that were talking about trialing, and for the first tryouts there were a few of them that did try out. But so no, I really don't know. I wouldn't know what to say. I wouldn't know.
And is it a big? Have you found it a big step up or a big commitment to make to make the squad?
It definitely is a big commitment. Like most of our nights now are taking up training. Weekends are obviously flying out and playing all around Australia. So it definitely is a big commitment, and you do need to sacrifice a lot of things to be in the squad. However, being selected, you know, it's not something that you want to give up at all or reject. So you do make the sacrifices, and you do give it 110% commitment. For the league, of course you would, so yeah.
And I mean, you see some of the other teams around town like the darters and netball and the basketball sides, and now, you know, for somebody like yourself to make the Canberra United side when perhaps not a member of the current, you know, Matilda setup, so you've come from the local league, it sends a great message really to all the other women and girls playing in town.
Yeah, it does. It's been a good opportunity to have the W League start back up, having the Eclipse fold. So it has been a good opportunity for girls to come through, young and old, the ones that either, you know, have gone out with injury or something, or just haven't been quite at the level of the young Matildas or Matildas. So it's a great opportunity, and having it just a female, a W League and not a male A League, I think it's a good opportunity for the girls to be more well known, for us to get more coverage and more advertising as well. I think it's going to be a good thing for female soccer in Canberra.
I think it's going to be a great thing. And Sian, so you've I won't mention the last game you played, I think, where you got sent off in the grand final, but you're now fighting for a place, presumably in the midfield, and what are your thoughts on chances of getting a start on against Newcastle?
To be honest, none of us have ever been told about the starting lineup. What I'm in it for, all I have to do is give 110%, do my best, and if that's going to give me a starting lineup, it will. I'm a very committed person. Soccer's been, you know, my life. It's pretty much been my career since I was, you know, I started when I was 4 years old. So, to it's not like we're all teammates, so it's not like we're fighting for a position. It's just play your best, and if you'll perform throughout the week, obviously you're going to have some weeks where you've got your ups and downs, but give it 110%, and I'm sure, you know, it's going to pay off sooner or later.
So you're going to be up against players like Cheryl Salisbury on the weekend. What are your thoughts about that?
Having a little tacker against the big tacker. Being the first game as well, it's a little bit nerve-wracking. But I think it's going to be a good challenge. I'm willing to take on a challenge and to kind of, see how well you can go with matching up to the Matildas and see where you stand. But like I said, I can only give my best, and that's exactly what I'm going to do.
And it's great, Sian, to see that you've made the squad, and from all of us here at the Near Post, we wish you every success in the coming season.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
And that was Sian McCheskey from Canberra United. Canberra United play away against Newcastle Jets on the weekend. They leave on Friday, train on Saturday, play on Sunday, and then the big coach back. So good luck to them. And their first home game is in 2 weeks, and we'll cover them more next week. Now we're talking to former Socceroo Ned Zelic while we were talking off air. Ned, Russ asked you, you went and played for QPR. That's his English connection coming out, I suppose. A short stint, but surprisingly, Ned, what happened? You gave the money back, apparently. What's going on there? Footballers don't do that, Ned.
That was just a move where I can say today it was a mistake. I was just wasn't happy living, playing there. I mean, I played, I think, about 4 games. I came there, had an operation on my knee and was desperately unhappy and wanted to leave, basically, to go back to Germany. And I spoke to the club and said, look, the signing on fee that you've given me, I want to give it back. I don't deserve it. Yep. I don't want it. I just would have felt like a thief taking money for something. I just didn't deserve it. I just didn't give enough to the club because I was injured for most of the time and was unhappy.
Have you ever heard of a footballer giving the money back before?
I've heard of different stories of just different situations, maybe players giving money. But that for me was like I just was in a situation where I was just 100% sure that it was the right thing to do and still feel that way. I just, like I said to you, did not feel that I deserved a signing on fee because of the fact that I was injured for the most of the time. Played only a couple of games, was desperately unhappy living there and just wanted to leave.
Okay, we're going to talk Socceroos, I guess, and Olympic representation. Firstly, Ned, Socceroos, your best memory for the Socceroos? Or your best game, best memory?
For the Socceroos, the senior Socceroos, yeah?
Yep.
There's a few games. I think playing against Argentina back then was...
And Maradona.
A massive, massive thing. I mean, obviously disappointing that, we didn't qualify. I just felt that Argentina were... although they had some very good names, were still beatable back then.
Yeah, we only lost by a fluke as well, wasn't it? A deflected goal.
Exactly,
huh?
Exactly. I mean, obviously, that first game was a real good experience. Disappointing that I couldn't take part in the second game because I went back to my club and got injured on the weekend.
Yep.
Back then, there was a 2-week break between the games. But that was one of the biggest experiences for me. But not only just the game, but... because I'd been such a big fan of Maradona as a boy, I remember Eddie Thompson, the late Eddie Thompson, telling us before the game in a team talk, look, if the Argentinians, they like to provoke, they like to do different sorts of things in the field, if they come up and try to shake your hand or do whatever, just don't take any part of it. And I remember after about 3 minutes, the game had started and Argentina have got a throw in down in their half. And Diego was just, Maradona's just running past me slowly to get into a forward position. And he's run past and he said, "Hey, Zelic," and given me his hand. And I'm like, "Diego, please come here." I just couldn't believe it that he even mentioned my surname, That was a massive experience, coming into contact with Maradona.
Another tournament you played in, obviously, was the Confederations Cup run of 1997 when Australia did incredibly well to reach the final, having drawn with Brazil 0-0 in the group. You then went on and came second in the final, going down 6-0. What would you blame that?
Thanks for it.
Yeah, we had to remind mention that.
You could have kept that bit to ourselves.
it's the English in him, Ned. He can't help it.
what would we blame that on, the turnaround in fortunes there, Ned?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, that 0-0 that we played, Brazil were all over us in that game. We just defended like crazy, you know.
We got Viduca sent off, though.
In the final, Mark got sent off after about 15, 20 minutes.
What were your thoughts, Ned?
I'm going to kill him after the game was my first thought, you know. Obviously, that contributed into us being pumped 6-0. Although, you know, even if Mark had stayed on the field, maybe it wouldn't have changed things. I don't know. But it was definitely a big handicap. But again, Brazil had a massive team back then. I mean, if you got Romario and Ronaldo up front, they just run circles around our defenders back then.
It's pretty awesome.
Because I wasn't in the defence, just let me put I was playing central midfield back then.
It would never have been 6-0 if Ned was in the
back. Well, that's it. It's awesome to get to the final. On to a more happier result. I've got a couple of friends who are big Socceroos fans. They go to all the games. And they wanted us to ask you about your famous Olympics goal, backing the 91 qualifying against the Dutch, when you squeezed it in from an acute angle. Mm. And you've probably answered this question 1,000 times.
I thought this was exclusive.
I meant to score. Yes.
was it a cross or a shot?
No, it was 100% a shot. 100% a shot. If you look at the footage and just look at my body angle and the way, the style that I'm coming into the ball to shoot, you'll see that that I was going for goal. And, you know, you've got about not even a second to make a decision, you know, and I had to make a quick decision. And when I actually got there, I was thinking of crossing. But then when I saw their keeper slightly come out, I thought, you know, it's the last minute. You've got to go for it, yeah?
Ned, if you'd have missed, we were, all of us in Australia sitting at home, we would have bagged the party out.
Yes, yes, but, yeah. But luckily, Dorman have come out and said they still would have signed me.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that. We were chatting beforehand. You said you'd signed your contract with Dortmund prior to that because...
No, it wasn't prior to the game. Everything,
just on the back
all the events
that.
Happened, you know, in the following days and weeks. So.
And you mentioned that you could well have been heading in an opposite direction if things had changed a little bit differently. Like, to explain a bit more about that and the Manchester United
connection. Yes, well, it's a story that I've been told that obviously there were scouts from all over Europe, you know, primarily looking at the Dutch side. But Manchester United scouts were there looking at Arthur Newman, the captain of the Holland team, but they had a plane booked to go back to England after 90 minutes. They were pretty sure that, you know, this game is 90 minutes and it's over. They've gone back and like I said, they were looking at Arthur Newman. He's had a good 30 minutes in extra time, and the agent that was trying to get him to United then basically told me that he spoke to your United officials and offered to send them the tape of send Alex Ferguson the tape of the 90 minutes plus the 30 where Newman did so well. Did that, got a call from Alex Ferguson saying, look, Newman did very well, but I want the number 4 from Australia. But by then, everything had been signed with Dortmund, so there was no going back on that. I wouldn't have gone back on that anyway. And it would have been virtually impossible for me to get a work permit then anyway, because I just didn't have enough caps as I was just starting out for the senior team.
And also, you said you're a Liverpool fan as well, so that would have been hard for you.
Yeah, I would have changed that, though.
We've only got a couple of minutes left, Ned, but you played in some fantastic games like the UEFA... UEFA Cup final against Juventus. I mean, some of the names of the players, Baggio, both Baggios, you know. What are your thoughts when you look back on your career? I mean, you've played across the world. It's been a fantastic drive, you know, from the camera boy to the Socceroos to, you name it, Iran. We won't mention that more than once, but, you know, you've had a fantastic career, Ned. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. No, it's definitely been worth it. Just also experiencing different countries and playing against such, you know, top-notch, top-quality players. And winning things, which is also important, you know.
Yeah, because not all players do they?
Yeah. I mean, obviously winning a title with Dortmund, winning a cup in Japan, a title in Georgia, you know, just finished at age 35 was also something to look back on. You know, like I said, just playing against all these international stars. And I can remember, you know, that first season that I had against Dortmund to get all the way to the final and play against, you know, players like Roberto Baggio, Viali, and whoever else was in the team. There's so many names.
It's a dream run. Who was the best player you ever played with?
Yeah. There's so many. I'd have to say Thomas Hessler, German international, was a great player. Also, Julio Cesar, the Brazilian international, fantastic defender, is definitely up there as well, along with Matias Sammer, Andreas Müller. There's the whole a lot of...
And the names just roll off. And for Australia, the best Australians you've played with?
I'd have to say Kewell and Viduka were definitely two of the, you know, most promising players to that I've played with. I mean, there's a lot of Australians, obviously, that that have got a lot of talent. But those two are the ones, I think, for me, that are the best that this country has produced.
Yeah, I think they have. And Ned Zulich, you were certainly one of the best. Probably that's pretty hard to hear, but you were one of the best that you produced. But you've given it many hours of moments. It was a personal note when you left the Socceroos team for me. It was a sad moment, and maybe no regrets there, Ned?
No regrets in making that decision that I did. I just felt that I was left with no other choice, you know. I mean, I'd sacrificed so much for the national team, and you know, to get to that situation, you know, to come out and to be told, you know, you're not playing in this and that. I just didn't feel that me and Frank had that player coach relationship.
We want to leave it. We're running out of time, so I want to leave it on a positive note. Ned, absolutely fantastic having you come in and join us on the show. We hope to have a Canberra League team so you can come and watch us and maybe take some of our players overseas if necessary. But we've had a great career. We've loved watching you, Ned. Ned Zulich, Canberran, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first.